All right, fine. I'll be a gracious host. How you doing?
Little Mermaid is the scariest Disney movie by far, though.
Why the hell is Ace Blade in your Kickstarter?
Some comics. I'm getting controversial today. We're going to get controversial today with...
My proudest moment is this interview and being able to talk to you two.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Taurus Comics, in collaboration with Fourth Wall Productions, respectfully brings to you the 90th episode of the Four Tales podcast. Yes, I said 90th. If you missed the 89th episode, shame on you for missing my first panel. Hosting my first panel, I should say. But go back to our website, fourtalespodcast.com. Go listen to it. I did an amazing job as host, as panel. I'm just going to put it like that. But I'm your host, Kyron Silva from Taurus Comics. Across the way is the plump proprietor of Ace Blade, Danny J. Quick. And together we are your two award-winning Willard comic creators here to help you find your next favorite comic. We are live on the Ages of Geekdom Network via Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and TikTok. TikTok. So if you're listening or watching us live, thank you for your support. But don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and review this podcast, because all your positive reviews and interactions help us reach a bigger audience. That's better. That is better. Thank you, Danny, for telling me that's better. I'm glad I got finally your approval. What's up,
man? It only took 90 episodes.
Only 90 episodes. And you're there for like 50 of those episodes, so it's cool.
Almost 50, maybe 40 something. But man, I'm having a good week, man. How you been?
I'm having a good week also. I noticed I'm not having as good of a week as you are. I mean, I saw that flex you put on your social media the other day with all those orders you got going.
No
out
flex.
There.
No flex.
Well,
it's
a good flex though. It was a good flex.
No flex at all. That's why I was. People like you, Kyron. People like you are the reason that I don't share everything on social media. People like you, sir.
Wait, I am proud and happy for you. You out here killing it with your orders. You're making comics. I mean,
no, we're doing good for the last couple months.
Yes,
and I wanted to share that. You know, listen, I remember a time when I didn't get no orders. there were no orders coming in. And for long periods of time, you know, especially when you're doing indie comics, I know a lot of us in the indie comic community each other and support each other. And you can, you know, feel like it's not worth it at times, you know, and that people aren't following and supporting and stuff like that. But I know that, you know, when the good times are good, we should share. But when the bad times are bad, you know, we also got to support each other. So I'm no flex at all, because like I said, I don't know where the next 3 months might be dry too. Who knows? But right. I feel like, you know, but our guest is somebody who probably hasn't had to have that problem. Because
I feel like he has like everything going for him right now.
Yeah, he's just been killing it since the beginning. He got
since
the voice.
Day one.
He got the looks. He got the books.
Whoa! I'm not talking about anybody's looks now. What? No,
a handsome young man.
Man, you know what? You know, I am comfortable with my sexuality. I can say yes, he is a handsome young man. Yes.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that.
But we have today the amazing TJ Sterling from RAE Comics.
Oh, what up, y'all? I salute you, kind sirs. I'm happy to be here. The Four Tales podcast. We're in the building. You know what I'm saying? Ray Comics, motherfucking Four Tales podcast. We're here. We're ready to go. It's 7 a.m. on the West Coast. But you know what?
Thank you.
Y'all, baby. We are here for you guys.
Again, we need to reiterate 7 a.m. on the West Coast because of this man right here.
You keep blaming me, but I told you twice this week that we could change the time of the show. So I listen.
But when I asked you for what time works best, you're like,
I told you any time except Monday through Friday and Sunday.
All right.
Other than that, I'm good to go. Anytime you want.
Yeah. All right. So, all right, whatever. TJ, thank you for being on the show, man.
TJ, man. Thank you for coming
on. Thank you for having me on, fellas. It's a pleasure, 100%.
So for anyone that's not familiar with you and your work, can you give us a brief overview of what you do?
Yeah, of course. Again, everybody, thanks for having me on. My name is TJ Sterling. I'm the creative director and CEO at Ray Comics. We publish innovative comics featuring Black and POC superheroes, villains, antagonists, protagonists, and every type of character you can think of. We're currently, I think we've got a Kickstarter right now that's currently active for about 5 more days for our all ages space opera, 5 young Black space pilots trying to save the universe from medieval alien empire. Also, if you want to check out all of our other titles, Okimist, our sci-fi martial art action story, Okimist Dark History, our sci-fi dystopian prequel, and then Shattered Visions, our cyberpunk book, all available on the Kickstarter as well.
Awesome. And the Kickstarter right now is at joystickangels.com. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So if anybody is watching, like our friend Sean Barbour is on TikTok, he's like, you know, how are we doing this? Just go to joystickangels.com. It'll take you there. And Sean, I can talk to you later about how to set this up for TikTok also, if you want. All right. So, I mean, you've been doing comics for a while. I mean, not to, you know, talk about our ages or anything, but you've been doing comics since the early 2000s. Is that right?
I'm old.
Yeah, hey, I think we're about like the same age.
I get off the plane, you know what I'm saying? I finish a con and I'm like, my knees, my ankles, my back, what the hell?
Damn.
Yeah, man, you know, it feels like a lifelong passion, to be brutally honest. I mean, I've been a huge, huge comic book fan since the early 90s. I mean, the first comic book I ever bought, Jim Lee's X-Men number one, completely just blew my mind at the possibilities of what could be made in comics. And that whole era was something that I just absolutely fell in love with. I'm like, this is what I want to do, but I want to see more of us on the shelves. I don't want to just see Bishop and Storm and, you know, them being, you know, secondary characters. I want them, those types of characters, to be unique. You'd be different, to have all of our, you know, textures and amazing, you know, like just hairstyles and you know, just clothing styles, all these different things that we love within our culture, you know, on the shelves, really, you know, us being represented. So that kind of started my journey. And then, you know, eventually it was just like, hey, how do I get good at what I do? Like, okay, pretty simple. Just go to art school. So I went to art school for many, many years, was a art major in college, and then, you know, had the opportunity to work at Marvel while I was in college, in the bullpen, which was quite a bit of fun. It kind of helped me get my overall understanding of the business and how to kind of like assemble a comic book and how to market one and even how to edit one and all that stuff, picked up from one of the big companies. And then, you know, I was like, look, time is the currency, right? It's the biggest currency we got. So if you're going to spend your time working for somebody else, just know that, you know, you got to put those toys back in the sandbox when you're done. But when you're working on your own stuff, you literally can do anything you want, and, you know, your kids can eat off of it, your family can eat off of it if you've gone, and it's more a worthwhile investment when you work for yourself.
Nice. Now, you said you went to art school, so where did this transition go from wanting to do the art portion to writing come from?
Yeah, that's a great question. Shoot, man, I was gonna say, I think really out of necessity at first, because it was like, hey, I'm going to draw my book. And I started working with a writer because I didn't know anything about writing comics. And I was working with a writer and I'm like, man, while the writer's doing a great job, they're still not catching my full vision of what I want to see in the actual pages. So that being said, I was like, let me learn, you know, how to write a comic book. How, because I'm already a storyteller. I already have the stories in my head for these characters. So why can't I just, you know, spill that onto a page? Like, how do I think about the structure? So took a lot of research, a lot of time, a lot of practice. And I'm still, in my opinion, a newer writer that's kind of just, how do I say, starting to flex my muscles a little bit. And I'm still learning, you know what I'm saying? So still a lot more to go.
Which of the properties that y'all have you written?
All of them?
That's what I thought. I figured, yeah. That's what I thought. You said you're a newer writer. I was like, I know you've written every book of yours that I have.
Thanks.
But I understand what you're saying. I want to go back to what you said before. You said that you remember buying that Jim Lee X-Men number one. Do you remember which cover you had?
I had the original cover, the gatefold, the one that, was
all three.
Yeah.
No, it was four images, right?
I think it was like four or five images. It was out there. And then and then she ended up splitting them up into separate images and reselling them because, you know. Yeah.
Nice. Capitalism. I love that. do you still have it?
Yes, I do. In pretty decent condition. It's funny, like I was when I moved to LA, I kind of had to mine my comic book convention. Like, where is that? Oh, it's in a closet. Oh, it's in a box. Like, I got to dig all that up and put it in one safe place so I can move it across the country. And I was doing a podcast with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and I had like a whole bunch of vintage joints just sitting around because I was, you know, just putting them together. Like, I had the Death of Superman, and I had the Dark Knight Returns. Like, I had a whole bunch of old school bangers, like classics, just chilling. You know what I'm saying? So I haven't bought anything new from the big two in a long, long time. Like, now my goal is every time I go to a con or one of the homies is running a Kickstarter or a crowdfunding effort, I literally buy black comics or POC comics only. That's all I buy now.
Nice. I love that, man. I love that. And a lot of my collection is, I had one of my viral videos on TikTok was like, this guy was saying, oh, he's got the biggest black indie collection that there is. And I was like, nah, like, I'm pretty sure I have it.
I was gonna say I actually do have the biggest collection, but I just didn't want to pull it all out because it really is massive.
So I'd like to see it. Listen, hey, pull that thing on out, man. I'd love. Pull the collection out so we can all see the see your collection, Kyra.
Yo, if anybody wants a good laugh, watch the Is What It Is, sports show with Cam and Mace.
Was that like, Cam? Yeah.
Yo, he hard pauses every 2 seconds about everything. Like,
these dudes are the worst.
We went to the grocery store and bought some fruit and some cucumbers. Hard pause.
Yeah, those dudes are out there for sure. But they seem like really good friends, and their show is definitely entertaining, man. I love that. But I love it, man. So how much? I want to know like the balance between art and writing now. Like, how much are you drawing and how much are you writing?
Yeah, it's another good question, man. I find that and both y'all can agree with this or probably even see my point of view on it, that when you're running a comic book business and you're, you know, have other people working for you, whether it's a, you know, artists and colorists and writers, your time is very limited. So the time I used to spend drawing, I used to spend about 6 months drawing a new issue of a comic, and then I'd spend the other 6 months conning, traveling, doing events and stuff like that. So because I've gotten a little more in demand on the con circuit, and I've been, you know, just working a little harder, I'm writing more books, it's a little bit more difficult to get to the drawing table. Mm-hmm. And let me just, what that was. Sorry about that.
It was your alarm to wake up.
Yeah. Somebody was calling me. I'm like, why don't you call me at this hour?
No, man. That's
the telemarketers right there.
You were talking about, Kyron was talking about flexing earlier. That's a real flex right there. My man said, they want me so much at these conventions, I don't got time to sit down and draw no more. I just can't do it. I love it.
I mean, guys, I'm literally drawing the last book of Okimus right now. So Okimus number 6 is going to be the last one in that particular series. And we've got spinoffs and a few other things. So, but that's a 40-page book. And I'm only 5 pages in. So I've got quite a bit of work to do. But looking forward to it because it's a creative challenge. But yeah, I mean, I would say I find that I have to like just silo a certain chunk of time away. Like, okay, this week I'm just working on this project, this week I'm just working on this one, or this month I'm only working on the writing for Joystick or Shattered Visions or whatever it may be. And yeah, that's the only way I can get productive, if I just, you know, get hyper focused and just pick a chunk of time.
Now, when you go hyper focused just on writing and then all of a sudden switch to your artwork, do you find those first few pages or so of your artwork maybe struggle? Maybe you aren't as crisp as you want them to be. Because I know for myself, I'm the same way. When I do the same thing, I just focus on writing for a little bit, and then I'll start drawing. And those first couple pages honestly look like crap for me. Do you find that same thing?
Yeah, man, I totally agree with that. And first of all, your work is dope, Kyron. I mean, I've been following you for a long, long time, man. We linked during the pandemic. I think it was 2020 when I first came across your work in Zobe and how much I fuck with that shit. So, I'm glad you're a writer artist like me, man. It's pretty cool. And there's those first couple panels that are like warm up panels. I'm not gonna lie. I might have to come back and toss them and come back to them later because I've been known to do that. Like I'll work on a page. And for me, it's just the train, right? So it's like, okay, it takes me a week to do a page. I finished my page. And then I'm like, okay, on to the next one. I finished that one. And maybe I take like a week to like look over everything else. And I'm like, is there anything that's like burning at me? Anything that's itching my spirit? Like, is it something I need to change? Because like, if I don't like something, my brain's not going to let it go. And then I have to go back and redraw it later on. I'm still thinking about a panel right now I have to fix. Like, oh, man. Not a fan of redrawing, but it makes it stronger. Yes.
That's wild. I didn't think about that until you just said that, Kyron. Thinking about your titles in specific, TJ, Joystick Angels, you got some mechs in there, you got the digital, a lot of technology, and then you got kind of like the cyberpunk thing with the Shattered Visions. I mean, there's some crossover there, but I could imagine you having to switch over in your brain to draw these different types of things. And I would imagine that would be kind of difficult.
Yeah, it is. So for me, I took a break from drawing any other title than Okemist right now. So basically, Joystick Angels, Shattered Visions, Okemist, Dark History are all drawn by other people, but written and creatively directed by me. So that's me coming up with character designs, ships, vehicles, all kinds of stuff, or just directing the team as to how to do that, and then still writing, editing the script and all that good stuff. But still, a cyberpunk book is way different than space opera, way different than a sci-fi martial art action tale. It's like way different vibes and energy. So it's like, how do you get into the zone of those particular genres is kind of like the challenge that I've seen myself had over the years. Like, I guess maybe if I'm watching like cyberpunk edge runners, or if I'm in, I'm watching Fifth Element or Judge Dredd, I'm in that cyberpunk space. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just finished watching Demolition Man. I'm like, yo, Wesley was whooping his ass. He should have won that movie.
He should have won in that movie. You're right.
Yeah, yo, Bump Stallone, man. I want to see this Joker. Anyway, I'm like, yeah, like those things help me get into the mindset of just like, this other world, this other genre,
So why are you choosing to draw Okemist and not the other two? You got some favoritism going on there? What's up with that?
Yes, he's had favoritism.
Yeah, so I wanted each book to be a different vibe, So when you get Okemist, the original series, you're going to see my story, my work, and my original vision for what I think is cool about comics, and then the outgrowth of that is really like different vibes from different artists. Still my voice, still my characters, still my overall aesthetic, but they're essentially riffing off my original design. Like, hey, colors kind of have to look the same, it's got to be within the same type of genre, like, things like that. So it's also giving other artists opportunities to flex and do their thing. And the collaborative part is so much fun. Like the book that me and Sean Hill did together, Okemist Dark History. Mm-hmm. It's a 100-page graphic novel about the main character and Okemist's father. It's a different timeline, but within the same universe, it's kind of dystopian dark future where like the world has been overrun by cybernetic monsters that are birthed out of taking a vaccine during a pandemic. So, I was kind of playing with some of the stuff that's already happening in the real world. And I'm like, okay, who can draw the series other than me that has like a lot of that same type of grit? And then Sean Hill comes to mind, and we vibe and work and have a good time making this book.
Is there anything Sean Hill can't do, honestly?
Exactly. Sean Hill, shout out to Sean, man, doing stuff for Marvel, DC. That dude's a beast right now. He's killing it.
That's one that I need to read. I need to put him on my board because that's one that slipped through the cracks. I usually can get these artists early before they super blow up, and he slipped through the cracks on me. So I gotta get Sean Hill stuff.
So real quick story. Sean Hill was working on Okemist Dark History for 4 years. Ooh. Now, 4 years because, you know, he had a kid, like a couple family members passed, like life stuff, the pandemic, just like just life be life. And but he was also like booked for like other like properties too. Like he was working on a book for David Walker at the time. He was working on a book for Greg. He was working on a book for Jason Reeves. Like he's just, you know, working on mad books at once. So it's like his line was long. I guess I happened to slide in there at the right time. I'll pause. Who was?
Well, I mean, we want to talk about you because you also have an extensive library of things you've done. And I'm noticing in the TikTok chat here, there are people talking about, you know, art schools and things like that. And my understanding, my research, you actually worked at the Joe Kubert School of Art for a bit too, right?
Yes, I am currently an instructor at the Joe Kubert School of Comic and Cartoon Art. I've taught a variety of classes at the college, all virtual.
Was that a pause moment there when you said I feel like that should have been pause moment.
Yep. We need a pause signal, like a little sign, like, you know, when they hit the button, like a little button or something. Terrible. New feature of the show, y'all. It's coming. I've taught a variety of classes through them. My original classes were all drawing, like, you know, digital drawing, and then, you know, the foundations of drawing, and now I actually teach a course on the business of comics. So that's my latest course that I teach for them, and they're really gracious, man. I love the Kubert School. They're very, very much Imani Latif, what up, bro? Chilling, man. Good to see you. Yeah, they're very cool, man. The comic book guys or the staff at the Joe Kubert School, if you guys want to learn about writing comics, there's no real better place to do it. I mean, you got Amy Chu and a whole bunch of other seasoned writers. You want to learn about lettering, you got some of the goats in the game teaching lettering perspective. It's just a really good resource. And the only thing I can kind of like compare it to is the Comics Experience site. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that, but it's like an online learning site that has all these different, you know, big name Marvel DC creators like teaching you how to do what they do. And that instruction part is so powerful, man. I'm just blessed to be able to have opportunity to teach, you know, some folks, you know.
Yeah. All right, well, okay, so we have a few more minutes, so we definitely want to talk about your current Kickstarter that's still running. God, how many more days do you have left on this? I don't think it's
about five more days roughly.
Yeah. All right, so we haven't touched on Joystick Angels too much. So can you give us I'm going to share the screen so we can see your Kickstarter. But let's go ahead and talk about that also.
Yes. So, guys, if you haven't had a chance to check out Joystick Angels, now is the time. Kind of a perfect time because when we came out with Joystick Angels 2 years ago, it was just a single issue, one-shot kind of deal where we were literally kind of just experimenting to see, hey, could we create a cool space opera with black people in it doing cool shit? But they got to be kids. They don't have to have powers. It's got to be brilliant. So me and my brother come up with this idea for Joystick Angels. And Joystick Angels is an all-ages space opera. Five young black space pilots are trying to save the universe from an evil alien empire. If y'all are fans of Guardians of the Galaxy or Star Wars, you're really going to like this. Each book is very, very unique. It's kind of got like an anime, manga-esque type of flavor and style to it. But again, still American comics. Each book actually is very, very unique, not only because of the art style and how dope the story is, but it comes with a soundtrack. Every single book comes with a digital download QR code in the front of the book that allows you to essentially stream the music while you read it. So that was issue one. And with issue two and three, we're doing the exact same thing. And through the Kickstarter, you can get all three of the issues plus like some cool variants. But it's kind of like an easy way to get basically everything that we make at Ray Comics, but specifically Joystick Angels is our crown jewel right now. You can get physical CDs. We got some t-shirts on there. So please check it out, guys. www.joystickangels.com.
And you've already met your goal. You've exceeded that goal by a lot. Can we expect with 5 days left? I mean, are we talking about stretch goals or anything like that with this?
Yeah. The first stretch goal we had, which unlocked a 10K, which was the most important one, was paying our creative team a higher page rate. You know, we are very blessed, you know, to have a good, solid creative team. That's the original creative team on this project from, Javon Stokes. TJ's voice blew up the bass in my speakers. I need compensation.
We were going to put up a disclaimer before the show started, but we didn't get the graphic made. So
that's it. Yeah. So I actually got to remove that locked thing on top of it. But yeah, the stretch goals, the original one was just literally to just pay the team more money, you know, just
bonuses. Raise their pay rates. I like bonuses for artists and creative teams, man. That's I love that as a stretch goal.
Pay your creative people.
Yeah, they man, I think the biggest part about indie, like biggest myth about indie comics, is that we can't pay people on time. It's absolute bullshit. Like we pay people on time, we pay people good rates, like we treat our artists and our team very, very good. You know what I mean? And I just want people to see that this is a priority for us at Ray Comics, that we are, again, giving you guys, giving our team everything they need plus some.
Yeah. Nice. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So it looks like the next stretch goal is 1500, which you can get that in the next 5 days. And that's a masterclass of comics.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And music production. I mean, again, especially now, I get a lot of questions like, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? I'm like, well, hey, I have a whole, there's a reason why I teach a class at Cubert School to answer these types of questions. But I kind of want to give you guys a very similar, you know, a slice of that class, a good taste of that class for an hour and a half. Like kind of like Zoom meeting call with everybody who wants to join in on just different tips and tricks as to how to be in the business, how to exist, how to make good stuff, how to stay consistent, focused, and produce, you know?
I love it. Nice. Before we get into the quick takes, man, I want to, and first of all, thank you for coming on TikTok with me, a while back, man. That was good, man. We had a good time talking, even though you didn't have no video at the time, it was still fun. you talked about your time in the Marvel bullpen. What for the, you know, the comic book creators who are in the chat and in the comments and are viewing, what can you give us, like something that you learned in your time in the Marvel bullpen that really, really helped you out as an indie?
100%. I would say that the biggest thing I learned was how do I put this? The community aspect of comics. And I think a lot of people kind of forget sometimes that comic books is very much a communal friendship type of business. You know what I'm saying? So if you kind of like kick in the door and you're trying to like aggressively, you know, make relationships, you're only going to offend people. And then that kind of takes people out of the experience of wanting to work with you or wanting to help you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of, again, just seeing that most of the people that worked at Marvel were very much friends, that they would hang out and go out to dinner, or, you know, they'd go out to eat afterwards, or, you know, go to lunch during, you know, their breaks. And it was very much a enjoyable experience. Like, hey, we're doing something fun. Why is it not fun? And I think a lot of us sometimes we competitively want to be great, but a lot of us, I think, make it a little bit toxic competitive. So like, that's one of those things I was like, yo, man, these people are just really trying to have a good time. And I think that was the cool part about it. They're working a great job. You know, they're like, just, they're just enjoying themselves. But besides that piece, so many different parts. One, have free labor. Get as many interns as you can do shit for you. Get coffee, to make copies, to run the Kinko's. Free labor, y'all.
Why do you think I got four kids, man? Come
on. I was gonna say the same thing. I got three kids. That's why I do it.
That part, put them to work. So, but yeah, the bullpen was so cool, man. I had such a good time. I mean, you know, I started out working in the basement of the actual business. So I started working with this guy named Fenton Ang, and he's this, you know, he looked like a twig. He was this skinny little Asian dude who, you know, didn't weigh more than 70 pounds. And he had been with Marvel for like 40 years or something crazy. And we were in charge of basically doing freelancer comps. So every time you work with Marvel, whether it is a illustrator, writer, creator, whatever it is, you get a complimentary copy of your book called a comp. So those comps would be sent to every single person throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And I was, again, putting stuff in envelopes, seeing, hey, that's, you know, Brian Michael Bendis's address over here. It's over here, whatever. I might have to pull up and ask her, whatever. But it was cool to see that part of the business. Like, hey, this is how we, and then every new comic book Wednesday, Marvel would get every comic book made by every publisher. So if it was Dark Horse, DC, Image, they'd get all of them along with theirs. So the editors could see what was being done by other people. So I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And once they realized, like, hey, we have students that are working here that have design experience, then they saw it. They reached out to me and said, hey, we've got an opening in the bullpen where you can actually do some designing and some production work on some of the comic books. Then, and that was really like bringing in a raw page of art, inks from like John Romita Jr. or somebody, and then like sizing them for print, working on some of the digital comics. They had a ton of interns at the time that were digitizing comics. So they were scanning old books, really old books like Marvel Masterworks, and then essentially putting them online. And that was like a whole thing in the late, early 2000s, like 09 into 2010.
Nice. Very nice.
Man, number one, have more children so I can have them work for me.
Number two, get better internet.
Get better internet. Number three, have fun with the people I work with. Cool. Okay, I think I can do that. I think I can do that.
Yeah.
I got to talk to my wife about that first one, but we'll see.
I love that, man. I mean, I even to this day, I've got one or two interns. I pay my interns. Ladies and gentlemen, I do give them money and food, money, food, and water. That's what they get when they work trying to help me.
What TJ's not telling you is how much money, how much food, though. Getting like a dollar here, a dollar there. You know, they get some cheeses.
Hey, that's better than nothing. It's better than nothing, especially these days.
Facts. Oh, right. Michael Watson, he just backed the campaign. Oh, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I did see some comments in TikTok chat that said, you know, they don't have the money to do it, but they want to get it. And that's perfectly okay. If you can just share TJ's link, Joystick Angels, to your social media, that helps out just as well as backing. People can just see it that maybe didn't see before.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Well, I think this is the time where Danny is about to do his quick takes.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right.
Quick takes! Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for quick takes. If you've never seen the show before, quick takes is a rapid fire Q&A session with our guest. And I've scoured the internet, I've stalked social medias, and gathered some juicy details about your life. And this is gonna be all standard. It's gonna be all standard stuff. We ain't gonna do nothing too crazy today. But you know, just want to get a little more insight about you. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna ask you 5 questions, and you're gonna have 45 seconds to answer each one. Okay. So answer off the top of your head as quickly as you can. But you know. Give us a little insight. So, this first question is one that I ask a lot of creators who do conventions and stuff like that, because we know that all types of conventions have their pluses and minuses. Who's TJ's friend?
Did you want to answer that before we get to quick takes, TJ?
Who's TJ's best friend in comics, and why is it Javon?
Yo, shout out to Javon Stokes, man. It's a good guy right there. Yo, man, I love Baltimore Comic Con. Appreciate all my DMV family. Shout out to everybody over there. Straight up.
Sure. Okay. Question number one, talking about Comic Cons. Big cons and small or big cons versus small shows. Which one do you prefer and why?
I prefer small shows, to be perfectly honest, because they're definitely more down to earth. There's not that celebrity component. And I think people are there to purchase comic books and get to know creators that are actually existing in the area. And they want to meet and greet and buy indie. So, yeah, I love small cons.
Me too. I got social anxiety, so I'm not great in person. I can be really weird in person. So I like to, you know, I don't know why, but in-person interactions can sometimes go wrong with me. So
the man that will go and interview people at a con for his social media content.
All right. Oh, I'll do it. I will do it now. I will do it. It doesn't always go great, man. Like, people are awkward. I know I'm awkward. So, but cool. Love that answer. Love that answer. Okay. Number two, for indie comics, what do you think should be the goal? If you had to choose between live action or animation, for indie comics, which one do you think should be the goal for us?
Animation, to be perfectly honest, I think is a better look for most indie comics because, you know, there's no crazy huge budget as to what you can do, you know, with a movie like, oh, hey, we can't do that explosion or we can't do that one scene from your book because, you know, the amount of money it's going to take to pay the actors, the action sequences or the rendering the ships or whatever, but you can almost do anything. It's like, you know, the animation could literally serve as like a mirror to your comic book and almost do pretty much anything.
I didn't think about that, man. I think about the budgets that are involved in making animation versus live action.
That's because you're a writer only.
Yeah, that's
as an artist, we have to think about that, you know.
Yeah, like I didn't even think about that. With animation, you can literally be in outer space, or you can be in ultimate. You can be in heaven or hell if you want to be. Yeah, that's true.
And, 3D animation's getting so good. Like, I mean, when you look at Across the Spider-Verse, I mean, like, you can't do that type of movie in live action. There's no way. They tried with the last Spider-Man movie with the three white spider dudes. Like, I mean, it was cool, but nothing trumps Miles Morales in Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse. Like, one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah. I agree. That's a good point. Okay. Number three. Your comic book bucket list. Give me some things that you want to do in comics before you get out of the game. What are some things that you absolutely have to get accomplished before you quit comics?
Yeah, I want to make a library, man. I think for me, my biggest thing coming into the business was always like, how do I build a library of content? And, you know, I'm not trying to rush the process of getting to film or getting to animation or games. Like, I want it to organically happen because I want to have a ton of content. You know, I want to have, right now we've got space opera, we've got sci-fi martial arts, we got dystopian dark future, we've got space opera, but we want to have, you know, westerns, we want to have horror, we want to have drama, like, you know what I'm saying, maybe even a romance comedy, like a rom-com type shit. So we want to just do more genres and have a well-rounded offering with our company.
I love it. I love that, man. I think that's a great goal too, man. Cause, not that superheroes are played out. I think you can always do superheroes, but, superheroes might be oversaturated and it's harder to grab that real estate, in superheroes because people already know Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. They always gonna, you know, look at those as the main guys. So, I think that's a great goal.
Yes.
Number four, a new thing I've been thinking about, like this show that we do here, for comic book creators is kind of how we give back to the community. We want to help spotlight other creators and support campaigns and projects. So there's this whole concept of indie comic symbiosis that I've been thinking about and how, you know, we all need support from the indie comics community, but we also, you know, want to give back to support. So, what are some ways that you give back to the indie comics community and what are the things that you need support with?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for giving back to indie comics is just, you know, supporting each other's work. I mean, again, I was, you know, lucky enough to at Baltimore Comic Con to sell out of all of my books. And then, you know, for that last 3 hours of the con, I walked around to every Black creator and just gave them my money. You know what I'm saying? All the money I made literally got spent a couple minutes later you know, Black novelists, Black comic creators, you know, Black artists, just whoever was there that was Black and doing something dope. I was like, yo, I'm buying all of your shit because I want you to succeed just like I do. But that part, I mean, if you got a Kickstarter back there, if they have a Kickstarter, back their Kickstarter, you know, again, pull up to Danny's, you know, TikTok, you know what I'm saying? Share his stuff, you know, do a stitch, all of that.
All that for sure. Absolutely. I think it's hugely important. I think the only way we can, you know, grow is to support each other and to put back into what we're doing, man. And it's absolutely needed. Okay. So, number five. The other show that I do is called Top 5 Live. We do it on Tuesday nights. Me, Javon, and Morgan Iverson. And we're trying to get Kyron on there, but he's always eating. So you can never get Kyron.
Trying to get them gains, man.
Spending time with his family and stuff.
That's my family time.
Spending time with his family, whatever.
Y'all comic book family. This is my real family.
Terrible. So what I like to do is have our guests on here do a top five list off the top of their heads. And since you mentioned Jim Lee, I wonder if he makes your top five comic artists of all time. So top five comic artists of all time, dead or alive, no matter the genre. I mean,
you're right, Javon. I am.
Words. So we've got Ryan Otley for sure on Invincible. Todd McFarlane for Spawn and everything else he's done. Dan Mora, who's absolutely incredible on everything he draws, insane. Jorge Jimenez, who's also another incredible DC artist. And I'd say probably one of the GOATs who inspired me to do what I do is Michael Turner from Aspen Comics. Those are my top five.
Michael Turner. Yep. Yes.
And Jim Lee David make the list. Ooh.
That's okay. Quick, guys, I have to talk about Brian Stelfreeze because he's definitely one of the GOATs in my mind. So he's part of the top five that I can alternate with him with somebody.
Stelfreeze is absolutely one of the GOATs, man. Michael
we
Turner.
Need Stelfreeze on the show, by the way.
I'll see if we can make that happen.
You're the one that has his number.
But yeah, no, man. Michael Turner. Michael Turner was that guy, man. I think his art might have been like some of the early stuff that really got me into comics. And yeah, Michael Turner is definitely one of the legends in the game. Man, that's a solid list. That's a solid list. I don't know if I didn't know Dan Moore's name, but as soon as I Googled him, I was like, oh yes, I know this art for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, awesome.
It is crazy. Dan Mora is a family guy. Like he's got, you know, a wife and some kids, and you know, he was working indie comics at one point. And then when DC and Marvel discovered him, they were just he's like, yeah, bro, I'm so busy, I can't even work with you no more. He was one of those guys that like rags to riches, like, you know, from 0 to 100, like real quick on like working for big companies. His work was just that dope, you know?
Yeah. His that World's Finest stuff and the Power Rangers stuff, I definitely have seen.
So killer.
That's awesome. Love hearing stories like that. All right, man. That's quick takes. This week's sponsor is King Art art supplies. Cause I just picked them up at Walmart.
Can we get your internet sponsored so we can get better internet for you, please?
No, this is what you gotta deal with. You gotta get up early and I gotta deal with bad internet. So it's fair.
That still feels like I'm dealing with that, not you. All right. TJ, this has been fun. It's the end of our show, so we wanna make sure you get your time to really highlight your work and where people can catch up on you. So tell everybody where we can buy your books, support you, and check you out on social media.
Yeah, appreciate that, guys. Again, thanks for so much for having me. Kyron, Danny, I absolutely love the work you guys do. It's an honor to just be in the same room with you. And just continue to build, man, towards the goal of making more POC content, you know, especially dope black comics of all kinds of genres. If anybody wants to find me, it's super easy. If you head over to www.joystickangels.com, you can literally pre-order our two newest books. You can get a Hollowful variant, you know, special edition Kickstarter only issue for number one. You can get everything I've ever made. And if you want to check out our website just to see what's going on there, it's www.raecomics.com. And if you want to talk to me about anything, connect with me, you can literally drop me a line right there, and it's super easy to find me. So I'd love you guys to just check out the Kickstarter, support it. We only have 5 days left. And if not, hit me up afterwards on raycomics.com.
Awesome. Danny, where can people check you out?
You know where to find me if you need me. The best place to go is www.fourthwallpros.com, where you can find all of our books and upcoming news about where we're going to be at. And then if you want to find me on social media, it's at the Ace Blade on all social media platforms. Kyron, Where can people find you?
Let's not wait. Don't lie. It's just on TikTok at this point. You don't go on Twitter. You don't do Instagram.
I tweeted this morning. Thank you. I retweeted somebody's tweet this morning. I'm trying to pay attention to the other platforms.
We re-X'd. We X'd them out. That's what we did. Is that what it's called? X-Men them out. X-Men and women them out.
Oh, terrible. Right. Kyle, where can people find you?
Michael knows it's only TikTok. You can find me at TaurusComics.com. Get all my books there. If you want to follow me on social media, I am on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Taurus Comics. And this is the first time you've checked out our podcast. You can go to our website, which is the number 4, TALESpodcast.com. You can listen to all our previous episodes, buy some merchandise, you know, support us financially, things like that. But join us next week where we are going to have legendary artist Daryl Banks on the show. We're going to talk about his career, what he's working on, and I'm pretty sure Danny's going to salivate over everything Daryl says. So, but until then, sayonara, goodbye, and everybody, please take care of yourselves.
I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say.